Amen. Hallelujah. You know, as I was preparing this message, I knew what God had put on my heart, and He has. But He said, you know what, I want you to go somewhere else first. So I'm going to go somewhere else first. I was going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit last week, or a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Apostolic Church and how the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us power to go forth and to lay hands on people and to heal people. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to do that. But one of the things that also the Holy Spirit gives us is fruits. And sometimes we forget, you know, we're a grace-based church. And we've been a grace-based church. And I thank Mom for a message last week because I think this stirred this up in me just a little bit. And it's funny how God gives you a message and you go and you talk to somebody during the week and the person you talk to is all about what you're going to preach about. And so I was having a conversation with a fellow Christian. He doesn't go to church here. And we somehow got on the topic of grace and we talked about how our foundation is grace. Pastor Jim laid such a foundation of grace in this place that we just are entrenched in it. And one of the things that I talked to him about, he says, well, oh, you're one of those grace churches, aren't you? Amen. I said, yes, we are. He says, well, that means you can go do anything you want to do. And I said, not really. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean we can go do whatever we want to do because there are consequences to our actions. We do something, and there's a consequence to the action. But, you know, we had a good conversation, and after I explained to him, you know, and it's because God had given me all these scriptures to talk about, that I had him at the ready to tell him, and say, no, that's not what it says. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And when we look at the fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to walk in, there's action on our part. Now, there's one area I kind of want to go through first because this came up in our conversation. And he says, oh, so once saved, always saved. I don't know how many have heard that before. Once saved, always saved. Well, let's see. Well, my Bible says we were saved by grace through faith. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and Christ, or and God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Right? As long as we're serving Him, we'll be saved. But there is one scripture here. Mark 3:28-29. Verily I say unto you, all sins, that says all, I'll catch it, all sins shall be forgiven unto the Son of Man and blasphemies. However, did I copy this right? You got that? Can you bring that up there? Mark 3:28-29. I think I copied it wrong on my scripture. Surely I say to you, all sins will be forgiven of the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. So we've all heard of the unforgivable sin, right? The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I've even had people come to me and say, I might have committed that sin. And if you're coming to me and asking me if you have, you probably haven't. Because if you look at the context of the scripture, it was the religious people. Jesus had been casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, and they're healed. And these religious people, these darn religious people, why do we have religious people for? These darn religious people said, hey, that's the work of the devil. And Jesus is talking back to them, and he's saying, don't call the work of God the work of the devil. And sometimes, you know, as we're serving God, we're either following Christ or we're not following Christ. We either believe him or we don't. There's not like, well, I kind of believe him. It's we believe him or we don't believe him. We believe that he saved us or we don't believe he saved us. So we're forgiven of all of our sins. But if we turn our back completely and we quit believing and we no longer serve him, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. As long as we're seeking him and following him. And that's not to say, well, I backslidden, so that means I'm going to go to hell. No, that's not what that means. Not at all. We were saved by grace, which means we didn't deserve it. We couldn't do anything, nothing we can do to deserve that, by faith. So yes, we're talking about grace. Jack Hayford wrote in a book, and I don't actually read a lot of Jack Hayford, but this kind of caught me, and I thought it was kind of interesting. It says, "The work of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness, accomplished by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, sanctification results in holiness or purification from guilt or sin." So, when we were saved, we were sanctified. Our spirit man was sanctified. So, sanctification is instantaneous before God through Christ, but we have this thing called our flesh. You know, this thing called our flesh. And our flesh sometimes wants to do other things. How many have had that happen before? Yeah, that darn flesh gets in the way. But see, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He wants to make us more holy. And so our spirits have already sanctified instantaneously. But there's a work that continues in our flesh. And as we grow in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we can continue to sanctify that flesh. That flesh gets sanctified through that process. And you said, "Oh, no, Pastor Barry, you're way off. That is not the grace message, by golly. You're talking about sin." No, I'm not. I'm talking about where the Holy Spirit wants us to walk. Because we were already forgiven of our sins. I'm not taking that away. We were already forgiven of our sins. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit wants to walk in Him. And I'll cover that in another scripture in just a minute. This has become popular amongst a lot of younger Christians. And I don't know why it has. It just is kind of one of those things. It's kind of they've caught a little bit of the grace message, so they've gone and they said, "Well, we can go do whatever we want to because God's already forgiven us." So, you know, if we want to go out drinking some night with a bunch of our friends and just go to a bar and have a few drinks, maybe get a little buzz on, that's okay because God's forgiven us. And that's true, He has. God's forgiven. That's not going to keep them from going to heaven. They're still going to go to heaven, even though they did that. But that's also in contrary to what God's Word says, isn't it? God's Word says, drink but don't be drunk. And I've seen a lot of Christian young people in particular do this, and I have to scratch my head and say, well, guys, if we're following the flesh and we're not following Christ or following the Holy Spirit or being led by the Holy Spirit, then we're following the flesh. The Spirit is in contrary to the flesh, and the flesh is in contrary to the Holy Spirit. So we're either following the flesh or we're following the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm glad Janice is up there because I don't think Janice has ever heard this story. So I might be safe unless she listens to the recording. Some of you may know this, but when I was in high school and graduating from high school, I felt the calling of God really strongly on my life. And I had applied to Bible college. In fact, I was really close to going to North Central Bible College. And something happened. I got scared, or whatever you may call it, decided to go a different direction, decided to join the Army. Went the total opposite way. I joined the Army. I don't know that it was the opposite way, but I can tell you by the way some of the guys behaved, it was probably the opposite way. So there was this time that I'm in what's called AIT, which is advanced training. I was in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia. And towards the end of your training, they start giving you freedom. So you can go off base and you can do things and go out drinking or go do whatever you want to do. And I wouldn't do it. That didn't interest me to go out with the guys and go out drinking or do whatever I was supposed to do. And one of the things that happened real quickly is the guys got to know that I didn't do that. He is our designated driver. He can go drive for us. And I did. I went and drove for them because I didn't. Usually I wouldn't even go into the bars. A few times I would because I got free food and free soda if I'd go in because I was a designated driver. And I love free food, if you can't tell. So we there was this one guy, though, that was with us. And we went out one night, and we were eating at, I don't remember where the place was. All the other guys were drinking and having a good time. And he came up to me, and he says, "How do you do it?" I said, "How do I do what?" He said, "Well, how do you not participate with all the other guys and enjoy what they're doing and just, full, you know, so you just we're just having a good time. How do you have a good time?" And I said, "I can have a good time without getting drunk. I can have a good time." He said, "Well, you're a Christian, right?" I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "You know, I grew up in church, but I can't. I like to go out and have a good time with guys. I don't understand." And we got a chance to have a really good conversation, and we were having a good time talking about how Christ had changed my life and how walking in the Spirit changes. I seek after the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. And that just kind of tickled something in him. His name was Robert, and I still remember Robert very well. And he and I became quite good friends. And that night, the rest of the guys came out and said, "Hey, we're going to go to the strip club." Nope, not going there. But the rest of the guys did. Yes, I drove. But Robert stayed in the car with me that night. And if I had done what the rest of the guys had done, Robert never would have gotten saved. Because that night, he prayed the sinner's prayer in my car. We seek after the things of the Spirit, not of the things of the flesh, because that's how God works through us, when we seek the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. So the story goes on. I have to tell about the good things I did, but I also have to tell about the times I screw up. So Robert and I became good friends. He had a motorcycle, and I'd get on the back of his motorcycle, and we'd ride all over the place in Augusta. That's a beautiful area, too, if you've never been there. It's really beautiful around Atlanta there. But we got a motorcycle, and we'd ride weekends, and we'd have just good conversation, and we had a good friendship. And pretty soon we said, "You know what, we need to find a church to go to," because, you know, the chaplain on base was okay. I don't know if you know anything about chaplains in the Army, but they have to serve every religion. So they have to be Catholic, they have to be non-denominational, they have to be a Muslim, they have to serve all of the religions. So as you can imagine, our chaplain probably wasn't really the good place to be going to church. So we decided to find a church, and lo and behold, we found this church. And I always talk about Assemblies of God, but it was an Assemblies of God church that we found. And Janice and I at this time are engaged. We got engaged really young. I think we were 17 years old when we got engaged, so we got engaged very, very young, but we knew we were meant for each other. And so we start going to this church, and one Sunday, and usually we could go only on Sunday nights because they had Sunday morning service. Usually there's something going on base. We have exercises or training or something going on Sunday during the day. So we'd go on Sunday evenings. I had my car there. I think my mom and dad brought my car down to me, so I had this little Chevy Chevette with no air conditioning in it. Out in hot Augusta, Georgia. But I still became the designated driver. I'd have 25 guys in the back of my Chevy. We'd cram them all in there. But Robert and I started going to church. And one Sunday night, this nice older lady came up to us and said, "Hey, we'd like you to come over here. And we've seen you here a couple times. Come meet my daughters." Sure. It was kind of unusual. And, you know, she was just trying to get us to associate with people our own age, and I was a young man. I was 18 years old, I think, at that time, maybe 19. And I looked over at this young lady, and she could have been Janice's twin sister. She looked exactly like her, and I fell into lust with her very quickly, because here's this young lady that's sitting here that looks like Janice. I haven't seen Janice for 3 months, so kind of sometimes there's a little bit of this out of sight, out of mind thing. But, you know, my spirit man knew that was wrong to get in a relationship with somebody else. But, you know, my flesh was weak. My flesh says, "You know what, maybe you should ask her out." And I didn't. I said, "No, I'm not going to ask her out." We sat together in church that night. This is the I don't know, maybe 2 months before I got transferred out of out of Augusta. And Robert started dating this girl's sister. So Robert's dating the sister, and he keeps egging me on, like, you need to date her. And I said, no, I'm engaged. I don't need to date her. And then I thought, you know how the enemy puts thoughts in your mind sometimes you're not supposed to have? And so this thought popped in my mind. Well, maybe this is the girl for me. Maybe it's not Janice. Maybe God put me here to meet this girl. So I got up the nerve one Sunday, and I asked her out and said, hey, let's go out for... I didn't drink coffee, so I asked her out for a Coke. Now, there was no cell phones back then, so there was no exchanging of phone numbers or anything like that. But we got to talking, and we were getting along pretty good, and we set a date. It was a Thursday night. I didn't have any exercises after 5 o'clock. I thought, well, I'll meet you. I don't even remember the restaurant. I don't even remember the girl's name at this point in time. I don't remember what her name was. But we had a date set up. So I'm getting ready, and I just felt like this just is not right. I shouldn't be going on this date with her. But my flesh said, you know what? She's pretty hot. Maybe we ought to go out. So we did, or I took off, went on the base at the restaurant, and sat there, and she's 5 minutes late, and 10 minutes late, and 30 minutes late, and I'm pretty sure she's not showing up to our date. So I didn't know what her phone number was. I had no way to get a hold of her. She had no way to get a hold of me if something had come up. So I just went back to the base. And you know, the Holy Spirit in me said, you need to pray about this. So I did. I said, Lord, if this is not the girl for me, remove her from my life. If Janice is the one for me, then we'll know that because you're removing this other young lady from my life. So next Sunday comes, we go to church, and she's not there. So I asked her sister, so where's whatever her name was? And she said, oh, she's sick, and she's so sorry she missed your date. She didn't know how to get a hold of you and tell you, I'm so sorry, you know, that she missed the date. And I said, well, that's okay. Well, we go to church every Sunday. We still had about a month and a half left before I was going to be gone. And we get to, I don't know, next Sunday I had exercises, so I didn't go to church. And the Sunday after that, I came, and she wasn't there, and her family wasn't there. And the next Sunday I came, didn't come. And the next Sunday she never managed to meet up together. So finally I got a hold of her sister and got her phone number. And I said, so I'm going to call. This is my last Sunday in Augusta. I'd really like to get together with you. So my last Sunday in Augusta. And I had already checked out of the base. I was staying in a hotel off base, waiting, getting flight the next day home for leave. And I thought, okay, this is the last chance I get to see her. So we had arranged to meet at church, and then we were going to go out after church. Now, I hadn't seen her now for probably a month now. I'd only seen her that one time. And the Lord brought back to my remembrance that prayer I said, if she's not for me, remove her from my life. I said, well, God, I'm going to go see her one more time. Just one more time. So we're at the hotel, and I call a taxi because my car had gotten shipped back, so the only way I had to get around was a taxi. I call the taxi, and I wait, and 5 minutes goes by, and 10 minutes goes by, and pretty soon 20 minutes have gone by, so I call back the taxi place and say, hey, the taxi hasn't come and picked me up yet. What's happening? And he says, well, we already picked somebody up at that hotel. We thought it was you. So, okay, I'll just go wait out front. And I go out front, and I again, another 30 minutes goes by, and by this time, church is half over, and the taxi never came. So I thought, I'm going to call a taxi. I can still make it there by the end of service. We can still go out afterwards. So I called the taxi company, and they said, well, the taxi came. Were you in the back or were you in the front? And I said, I was in the front. She said, oh, the taxi driver came to the back. I said, I'm going to be standing right in the front, waiting for the taxi to come. I'll be outside so we can't miss each other. Please send another taxi. So again, 30 minutes goes by. Well, now church is over. I can't call her because she didn't have a cell phone. I only have her home phone. And I call the taxi company. I said, what is wrong with your taxi? He says, we sent the taxi. I said, to the front of the building? Yep. The taxi was there. He looked. There was nobody there. And I looked, and I didn't see a taxi. So either God hid those taxi from me and from the taxi driver, which I think is exactly what happened, because I wasn't supposed to see her, because I was walking in the flesh. I wanted what the flesh wanted, not what the Spirit wanted. Walking in the Spirit. So anyway, I never saw her again, never thought of her again, never called her again. That was because I knew God removed her from my life. Janice was the one for me. And I'm glad. I'm very happy that she was. Galatians 5, 13 through 18. I don't know if you have that one or not. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. How many know we've been called to freedom? Only do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Because that's what the people who think grace is all about. We're using our freedom. We can go do whatever we want to do. I can go out and have a good old time and I'm forgiven. Yes, you are forgiven. And you were forgiven. But that's not what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. Not to use our liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love and serving one another. For all law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. See, there's consequences for our actions. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So think about that. We're free because we're led by the Spirit. That's why we're free. I'll tell you another story. This must be story day or something. I don't know. Some of you may know this, but I fly airplanes and I fly helicopters. I learned how to fly a helicopter when I was in Florida. My favorite thing to do was more fun than flying airplanes, and I enjoyed flying airplanes. And when you fly in an airplane, I remember very vividly, you go and you have to have about 50 hours of training before you're allowed to solo in that airplane. That's a lot of time that you're spending in that airplane with your flight instructor next to you. And that one day comes that you have to solo. And the flight instructor steps out and he says, "You're on your own." And I'm sitting there, tight grip on the yoke of the airplane, like, "Okay, Lord, it's time for you to deliver me now." I was scared to death, but as soon as I took off, that feeling of freedom, it's like flying through the air and freedom. But along with that freedom, there are rules that I had to follow. Why was I free when I flew through the air? Because I knew I had to talk to the tower first and get clearance, and I knew that the tower was going to keep other airplanes from running into me, and he would let me know if I got too close to another aircraft or another aircraft got too close to me. And I knew if I got in trouble, I had somebody to talk to in the tower, and they would tell me what to do. So I had freedom because I had those FAA rules that guided me. Now, certifications I got was ratings I got as a pilot is an instrument rating. If you don't know what an instrument rating is, most pilots who fly small airplanes fly what are called visual flight rules. And visual flight rules mean as long as you can see where you're going, you can fly, and you have to maintain so much distance below or above the clouds. But you have to be able to see physically where you're going. In an instrument rating, you can fly through the clouds. You don't have to see where you're going. The most difficult rating to get as an airplane pilot or a helicopter pilot is the most difficult rating to get because there's one thing you have to give up: your senses. So when you first start going through the training as a pilot that's getting your instrument rating, of course, you have your flight instructor, and they put these goggles on. So all you can see, you can't see above the windshield. All you can see is the instruments on your panel. And they teach you. First, you look at this instrument, and then the instrument, and then the instruments, and you're always scanning your instruments to pay attention. And your instruments are telling you where to go. And all the time that you have this little hood on, you can still kind of see out the corner of your eye. You can still see the ground because you're training. So it's not like a real thing. Then The day comes when you actually have to fly in the clouds. And I remember the first day that I did this, and it happens to everybody, according to my flight instructors, that when you get up in the cloud the very first time, you will turn the plane sideways. So how is that going to happen? You've already taught me I'm supposed to trust these instruments. These instruments are telling me if I'm flying level or going up or pitched down or banked to the left or banked to the right. But the problem is your body for the last however many years, in my case, I started when I was about 30. For 30 years, my body told me when I'm standing straight up. And my body told me when I'm laying down. And my body told me when I'm leaning to one side. So my body controlled my muscles. So in my muscles being controlled, as soon as those instruments didn't match up with what my brain was telling me, my brain says, you're straight and level. The instrument says, no, you're banking. So what does my muscles do? They start banking more. And my brain says, no, you're straight and level. And the instrument says, no, you're banking more, because the more you bank, the more it feels like you're level, because it's throwing you back in the seat. And you start banking a little more and banking a little more. And sure enough, I had that plane on its side in the air. Because I couldn't overcome. I knew in my head what I was supposed to do, but I couldn't overcome what my flesh was trying to do. My flesh says, I got to override it, because my flesh was wrong. How many knows our flesh is wrong sometimes? And it took a long, long time, a lot of flying, before I got to where I could trust the instruments. It took a lot of studying. I had to read a lot. I had to get behind, had to do it behind the airplane with my flight instructor. Now, here's the thing that I think is part of this analogy that's kind of cool. When we're flying in the clouds as a student, God sends the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our advocate. Our flight instructor's sitting right there next to me. And I take off and I'm in the clouds and I get confused. That flight instructor says, I have the controls. And I immediately let go of them. How many times when we get in trouble do we need to say, Holy Spirit, you have the controls. You have the controls. I'm letting go. You have this. I'm letting go. You have this, Holy Spirit. And it's because, you know, of that safety there that I know I can fly and I can be free and have that freedom to enjoy flying like I enjoy flying. Like I said this not to focus on our behavior, because that's not what it's about. It's not about our behavior. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about Him working through us, through the fruits of the Spirit. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22, 23. I know you've all heard this before. The fruits of the Spirit is love. Love. First one. Most important one. Love. Joy. Oh, God wants us to have joy. How many people know God wants us to have joy? Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I loved it when those people came in. Janice said there was one lady that came in that was Muslim that came with her kids through the Halloween thing. And she said, how come you guys are so happy? How are you so happy? It's the joy of the Lord that's in us. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness, self-control. And this last part of it, against such there is no law. There's no law that says we can't love one another. Did you know that? There's no law that says we can't have joy or peace. Now, sometimes we get tested in this. I will tell you, if you want to get tested in this, go drive in Tampa, Florida. You will get tested in the fruit of the Spirit. Because when somebody cuts you off in traffic, the first thing out of your mouth usually isn't, I love you. But it's supposed to be. It really is supposed to be. I know I got tested a lot when I was in Florida. But it's supposed to be. But we talk about this because we're focusing on, this is what God wants to have fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to have fruit. And when we follow after our flesh, the flesh is contrary to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is contrasting to the flesh. So if we follow the flesh, it's no wonder the Spirit doesn't move and we don't have the fruits of the Spirit. But when we walk in the Spirit, we have the fruits of the Spirit. Paul didn't come and talk to the churches about all these things they're doing wrong. This is one of the things the guy was talking about. Well, Paul preached to the churches all the sin that they were doing in the churches. These churches, you know, in Galatians, they were all sinners. God didn't come to those churches, or Paul didn't preach to the churches about sinning because they're going to go to hell. He talked to the churches about walking in the Spirit. You have to not walk in the flesh. You have to walk in the Spirit. God wants these fruits to come forth. And if we walk in the Spirit, those fruits will start coming forth and they'll overflow. Lonnie said it this morning, the love, the love. Man, I just, you know, I pray even for myself that when somebody cuts me off in traffic, instead of calling them a moron like I used to do, I love you, brother. Just wave and smile. I got waved at a lot in Florida. It was usually with the wrong finger, but I got waved at a lot. But God wants us to walk in His Spirit. Anytime we do something wrong, it's like flying in the airplane. I had control of the airplane. I could have done anything I wanted to because I had control of the airplane. But if I didn't follow what the FAA rules were, I would either crash the plane, or I would, in worst case, or I would get grounded and never be able to fly again, because it's through those rules that I have freedom. There's consequences to what we do. But again, not to focus on what we're doing wrong, but to focus on Jesus and the cross and the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can work through us and we can walk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can make the choice to walk in the Spirit. Your word says that we were crucified with Christ, but nevertheless we live. Not I, but Christ who lives through us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the ability and the strength to walk in your Spirit. Father, we have the ability to either walk in joy or not walk in joy, to walk in love or not walk in love, to walk in kindness. And I pray right now that you stir up the fruits of the Spirit in this body right now. So not only as people come into this church can they say, wow, you guys really show a lot of love. But when we walk out into that world this week in our jobs and interacting with other people, that they will see the love of Christ. Your word says that they'll know we are Christians by our love. And we thank you, Father, that we can begin to have that love. We can walk in your kingdom walk by enjoying those fruits of your Spirit, Father. And we thank you for those gifts. And I ask that you stir them up right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.